So, since God is faithful and I have a short amount of time to do this, I want to get into this fact that we're united. God is faithful, but we struggle with that. Paul, this great apostle, disciple, this church planner, was really also like a marriage counselor. He actually got together with these Jewish Christians and these Gentile Christians, and he said, look, you guys, we're on the same team. We're united in Jesus. You need to be together. And then the vast majority of Romans 9 through 11, he's talking to the people in that division that he knows the best. And that's the Jewish people. And he speaks to them really well. But I want to remind you, before even that, Paul was called. Paul was called in a powerful way. I don't have one of those black Bibles. We're actually running out of them, and we're buying new ones. Praise God. We just gave two more to this lady to bring to her work because she has people at her work asking for Bibles. And they know she can be the one that will get them for her. And you guys are the ones that help provide that. So please, again, not just keep giving, but take those Bibles. And we're running out of them. But if you find Romans 1, can you shout out where it's at in the black Bible if you guys find it? I would tell you where it's at in mine. It's on page 1501. Won't help at all. Okay, great. Here we go. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. This is good news. Jesus died and rose from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name. Among who? All nations. He's saying, look, I was called to tell the good news and to bring people together in the good news, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. This is so good. And so we looked last week and how he was really encouraging everybody everywhere that though we're a wretched mess by sin, sin isn't the final word on those who are in Jesus. We are more than conquerors, as it said in Romans 8. And some of you were able to get that far in it, and some of you read it this week. And so he actually continues in this attitude of this wonderful good news. But it looks like this in Romans 9. And will somebody tell me where Romans 9 is in the black Bible, if you have one? Got it? Is there any left? Does anybody have one? Anybody grab one of those? Then I guess it doesn't matter. It's up on the screen or I'm going to read it. All right. Romans 9. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. That would actually mean the truth, right? Does anybody ever do that? You just say, I swear, I'm telling the truth. Why do we do that? Makes you not look bad. Good, Matt. Some people just don't believe it, right? You're about to say something they're not sure, or you're not sure they're going to believe. This is what Paul's doing. He's like, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. You can't do anything else in Christ, by the way. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. He's like, I swear by God's Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers and sisters, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul is saying, look, I'm so upset that I wish I could be out of being a Christ follower, out of being loved and saved for eternity, so my family could come in. I'd be willing to do that. He can't. He's like, but this is how sorrowful I am, how burdened I am. That my people, the Israelites, and to them belong adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, the Messiah, who's God over all, blessed forever. Amen. He's like, remember, he was called, we just read it, he was called to be this preacher of the good news and to share the good news with everybody. But in this marriage counseling of saying, look, stop being divided, let's come together, he turns his attention to the people that he knows the best. And he's like, you guys, everything has been given to us. It's all been given to us. Even from our race comes the Savior of the world. And why is his heart broken? Well, it's one of the big buts of the Bible. You guys have been given all this, but it's not as though the word of God has failed. Look, you've been given the gospel, the covenants, all the promises, and yet you're not following. But it's not that the gospel has failed, that the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it's not the children of the flesh, just because you're Jewish by race, who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Wow. So he goes on to say, look, it's Abraham and Isaac and you got Jacob chosen instead of Esau, and we've been chosen, and God is faithful to choose. He's faithful to call people. And this just keeps leading me back to this question that a number of people have been asking for thousands of years. Does God choose, or do we? And in this very room, this last hour, we've had people super passionate, like, no, it's totally God. He's 100% sovereign. And I would say, amen. And then because God is so loving and so amazing, he actually gives people choice. And I would say, amen. So like often my answer to this has been, yes, God chooses and we do. Dude, make up your mind. You've got to be way better theologian than that. Okay. I fully believe it's God. And I believe that he initiates in us to respond to him. And I believe that he's the one that calls us. But I don't know who's going to say yes to him and who is not. So you know how this kid lives? Sorry, I'm 48. You know how this man lives? I live like everybody has a chance. I don't know who's going to say no to him and who's going to say yes. What I'm about to read to you is my answer, okay? I believe this comes straight from the text. I think the sovereignty of God is amazing. It's awesome, and it's irreputable. There's nothing that you can do to take God out of being God. He's Savior. He's Lord. And so we'll go to it. It's 19 through 24 and 9. Plenty of people are like, dude, there's so many more things you can read. Amen. So can you. All week long. All right, here we go. You will say to me then, why does God still find fault? And what he's talking about is God's the one that chooses. He chooses. And so how can anybody even have a choice? How can anybody find fault? Or how can God find fault with anybody since he's the one choosing? Who can resist his will? It's a great question. I could. I did. I was so lost. I knew the truth and was super lost. I told the truth and was super lost. If anybody would have looked at me, they would have looked at me about what we're about to read, that I'd have been made for destruction. That's how my life looked. And then God flipped the script. And he's amazing like that. But who are you, O man, to answer back or clap back to God? Well, what does molded say to his molder? Why have you made me like this? Has a potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? He like asked this rhetorical question, but the answer is, yeah, God can do what he wants. I don't believe that God just flat out picks people and goes, you're destroyed. I think he knows everybody, and he knows who's going to choose and who's not. He's given this free will as this wonderful God, and yet he's totally sovereign as this totally in charge God. But can't he say, look, from this same lump of clay, I'm going to make some ashtrays and I'm going to make some really nice goblets. Yeah, God can do that. That just doesn't seem fair or right to us. His character is that he loves everybody, but you know what? Not everybody loves him. As a matter of fact, we all fall short. What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath, prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory? Look, he knows who's going to choose them and who's not, and so he uses the people who aren't going to choose them to wake up the people who are. You're going to see this destruction and this pain and this agony and this fallout, and it's going to wake people up. He goes on to say, look, Israel for a time is going to be asleep and dull, and they won't pay attention, and the full number of the Gentiles will come in, and then they'll wake up. I don't get all of that. I have some ideas. It looks like this. God loves people, and he wants them. And those who want him back were chosen. Those who don't and say no, God's like, okay, have it your way. He's not forcing us. But to those of us who are chosen, who are loved, who understand that he's God, we're awakened by this great love. This kindness leads us to repentance. And as he says, even for us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. This marriage counselor says, come on back. If you're family, you're family. So what's my answer for does God choose or do we? It's a hashtag, friends. Christ for life. It's all Jesus. He saves. He alone. And he calls his people. Are you hearing him? Do you have ears to hear him? Do you have eyes to see him? Look, this is something for me that a number of people have taught me over and over again. We're going to go to Romans 10, 9 through 13. This is this word of faith that God has given to us, and it says it like this, and so many people have used this as just like this nonstop, just pray a prayer and you're saved. No, it's this belief, it's this call, it's this oneness with God, it's this idea in Romans 8 that nothing separates us from his love, and we get it, and so this is what we say. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I don't know if you guys know this, but you don't raise from the alive. You raise from the dead. We believe that Jesus is Lord. We confess it, and then we believe that God raised him from the dead. So this Lord died and paid our sin. And for some of us, that's super exciting. And for some of us, like, that sounds like child abuse. And we want to write God off, because he doesn't do it the way we would. But I want to say to you, that is not child abuse. This is God saying, I love you. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is what? Lord of all, bestowing riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. And so then he comes back to his chosen people. But I got a little flip for you. God's chosen people aren't just Jewish people. It's everybody who would be saved. Everybody who would call on his name. And not just, well, I'm going to cover this with the prayer, but then I'm going to go do my thing. No, man, you know that God is God, and you like it. You actually love that he's Savior. No matter what you've experienced, no matter what you've gone through. And he hits us pretty hard about Israel, and again, this marriage counseling type of thing where he goes to the one that he knows the best because he's been there. He goes to Romans 10, 21, and he says this verse of Israel. All day long, I've held up my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Sounds like parenthood to me. Sounds like marriage for Kathy to me. This sounds like real life. But more importantly, it sounds like God to me and to you. I've held up my hands, God says, to a disobedient and contrary people. And he's talking about, in this case, his people, the Jews. And yet we can all have this apply to us. We'll head to Romans 11, 1 through 6. Thanks so much, Chris. You're doing a great job, bro. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. He knows who his people are. He's calling us. Friends, I don't know if you get this, but the pastor that stands before you is just a dude. I'm just a man, but I'm a man made in the image of God, redeemed by Jesus. I was a man so far from God that I could tell people I was a Christian and live like hell was my house. And approved of people who did it. I had parents who decided not to go to church with me. And then one time when I'm 18 years old, they decide they're going to go to this cafe, this weird Christmas dessert. And there's this theater and there's this stuff. And my mom had been to it lots of times. She's like, oh, Aaron, I'm going. I'm like, yeah. Because I was a jerk. But she calls me at my grandparents' house where I was living. And she goes, look, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm like, that's so good, Mom. I did that when I was 5. Good job. Leave me alone with all that. Why don't you miss me with all the invitations to church? Because I tried when I was little to get you to go. Friends, I would have been this person who totally rejected God. And he had held out his hands to me over and over again. And yet, I couldn't resist his love. My pot-smoking parents got saved. And they wanted me to know this Jesus. And so about a couple weeks after the first time I had gone back to church and got into a nice debate with my mom that included a lot of unsavory words, I realized I was loved and I was chosen. And I submitted to the only one who's truly ever loved me the way I need to be loved. And Paul's calling out to the people of God. And I beg you to consider, are you the people of God? Not because you grew up in America or because you prayed a prayer, but because Jesus is your Lord. He's your maker. He's your savior. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they've killed your prophets, they've demolished your altars, and I alone am left. And they seek my life. God, I'm the only one left that follows you. Anybody willing to say that's what my life has felt like sometimes? I'm the only one that follows God. I mean, I know there's some Christians somewhere, but man, I don't know where they live. He says, I'm all by myself. But what's God's reply to him? I've kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Wait a minute. So, God continually calls people. God's got a group of people that we may not even know about that are following him and loving him. Listen to verse 6. Well, actually, we're at 5. So too, at the present time, there's a remnant chosen by what, church? You can't earn grace, right? Because this is what he says. But if it's by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. You'd have earned it. So you're looking for an answer to the previous question? God chooses us, and he's merciful. We don't get what we deserve. I'm going to have to fast forward and get to this and finish. There's kids that are not yet losing their minds, and we want to try and help them not there. So Romans 11, 25 through 27, Paul's talking back to the other side of this divide to the Gentiles. After he had explained that, look, there was room made for you because a ton of Jewish people decided they weren't following this Messiah. So lest you be wise in your own sight. Like, don't get conceited. Don't get it twisted. This isn't you. You didn't do this on your own. Lest you be wise in your own sight. I don't want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers and sisters. A partial hardening has come upon Israel. A dullness. I talked about it in the beginning. I'll finish with this. There was a time and is a time where people who should know the truth aren't getting it. Some are just hardened and will never, ever repent. Some are just like, I don't know, this Jesus thing is just kind of weird to me. But look at this. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. God says, look, I want everybody who will be saved to be saved. So come home. Look, there's room for you. He's got a fullness. He's got a number in his head. I don't know what that number is. Do you? I didn't think so. So let's live. Let's preach. Let's share. Let's give. Let's be about this business of loving and following Jesus so everybody who would hear him will. And in this way, he says, all Israel will be saved. Some people say, well, all Israel means all spiritual Israel, all the people who would be God's family. That's good teaching. I think that counts. There's also people that say, look, I don't know how this all works, but every Israelite who's still alive is going to be saved. That one seems like a tad bit of a stretch to me, but there's people much smarter than me that will debate that until the cows come home, which is just a weird saying for me. I don't understand it. So why say it? All right. But there's also that there's this remnant, and this looks like it's in this text, that there's a group of people who will hear the good news, and they'll go, yeah, that's right. Jesus is it. And they'll all be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, which is Israel. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, which is Israel. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Oh my, God is merciful. Would you stand with me, church, as I give you what's called a doxology, a little blessing straight out of Romans 11. It's 11:33 through 36. I want to encourage you off of this to make much of him, Jesus, and his greatness. He's beyond being able to fully discover everything about him. He's beyond full knowledge. You can't, oh, I know everything about God. That, nice try. No, you don't. He's beyond counseling. He doesn't ask, hey, what do you think I should do with these people? And he's beyond us giving to him like he owes us something. Man, I've had a number of people pay for things for me. I had a guy hook us up with, like, tires for our car. And I felt, what do you think I felt? What do you think was going through my mind? Yeah. And also indebted. Felt like I owed him, right? You can't give to God and then he owes you. It's actually the other way around. But you can't earn anything, so you just get to receive it. So, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him for that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Church, Jesus loves you. Believe it. Live it. Give accordingly. Help accordingly. Forgive accordingly. Boy, I triple dog dare you to go and outdo one another in kindness in the name of Jesus. Father, today I'm just so grateful to have friends here, family here, to have people that are still just kind of trying to figure out, is Jesus worth it? God, I thank you for whatever you have for us, that we would receive it and believe it and live it out. God, I want to thank you so much for bringing these brothers all the way from Africa for us, Lord, to be encouraged, to be reminded that you are the one whose image we're all made in. That we would believe that and that we would live so people could know you, live so people could drink water that's clean, live so people could have life that they would choose you, live that people would not die from simple things like malaria or even just a cold or anything, Lord, that would take people out. So I pray, Lord, that you would give wisdom and insight to Gerard as he leads and as he lives in such a place, Lord, where many, many people don't know you yet, but they need help. And God, Dr. Samuel, you've blessed him with hands that heal and a mind that's so sharp. Would he continue to use those to glorify you and bring you, Lord, glory and honor that actually brings people to life. And God, I thank you so much for Katie. Thank you that her and her beloved husband, Tom, could not go to Burkina Faso and leave there unchanged. That you called people from America to be a part of your good news in Africa. God, may we continue to know that you are not unaware of all of our situations. God, thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.